Our scripture reading for today is a familiar and well-beloved passage for many of us, Psalm 23. This is a powerful piece of poetry that speaks of God as a shepherd who guides us and protects us, as well as a host who welcomes us into a home prepared for a feast. This is a very appropriate piece of scripture for our sermon series, Wilderness, and perhaps even more appropriate for the new reality created by coronavirus, because this psalm reminds us that God looks after us even when we are lost in the wilderness. You might be familiar with the King James version of this psalm with all the makeths and lieths and thys and thous. Today, however, I want to read the version of this psalm as it is found in the Bibles that we use in our sanctuary, the New Revised Standard Version. And I want to do so because this translation makes clear some differences in the psalm that I will address in further detail in my sermon itself. For now, friends, let us hear the word of the Lord in Psalm 23 as recorded in the New Revised Standard Version, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Friends, our God is still speaking. Alleluia. Amen. Friends, would you please join me in a word of prayer? Lord God, I thank you that even in this time of social distancing, you have blessed us with technology to close the distance and bring us together in worship. God, I pray in these moments that you might speak through me, but if necessary, speak in spite of me. God, I pray that you might help all of us to understand that when things seem out of control, when we are clearly not in control, that you, God, are in control. We pray this in the name of the one who is the Good Shepherd, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, as I begin today's message, I want to start with a question for you. Of all the things that you've had to give up in the past 2 weeks, what has been the most difficult for you to give up? Because I know that you've had to give up a lot of different things. All the people in the sanctuary here today, we've had to give up a lot of different things, but what has been the most difficult for you to give up? In fact, friends, I'm so serious about this question, I invite you to write down your answers in the comments to our Facebook live stream right now. Now, I don't know exactly what you've had to give up, but I have some hunches about what might be your least favorite thing. For many of you, it might be the fact that you're no longer able to go to your favorite store or restaurant. Maybe you were really looking forward to going to the 99 this week, but they're only doing takeout right now. Speaking personally, I was crestfallen to find out that the place where I go to get my favorite gluten-free cupcakes, Cupcake Mojo, had closed on Sunday, and I went there on a Monday, y'all. But that's the cost of good social distancing. Maybe the most difficult thing for you to give up has been being physically present with people you love and care about. Social distancing can be so lonely and isolating, especially if you live alone. To not see another person, to not share a meal, to not be able to give your friend a hug, those are hard things to let go of. Maybe the most difficult thing for you to give up has been a planned trip or a vacation. It's getting harder and harder to travel outside the United States, and even traveling within our country can be quite difficult. As many of you know, my girlfriend Kelsey lives in Dallas, Texas, and she was supposed to visit me 10 days ago. That would have been the first time we saw each other in 6 weeks. And 2 hours before she got on her flight, we had a conversation where we agreed the safest thing for her and for other people was for her to stay put in Dallas, Texas. And the truth is, I don't know when I'm going to see my girlfriend again face to face, but we are spending a lot of time together on FaceTime. Maybe the most difficult thing for you to give up has been financial. The economy has taken a huge hit with coronavirus, and many of us feel that quite personally. Maybe your bank account or your retirement savings took a huge hit when the stock market plummeted, losing all the gains it had picked up in the past 5 years. Maybe you're one of the thousands of Americans who finds yourself laid off of a job or with your hours cut back. Maybe the most difficult thing for you to give up has been the health of yourself or a loved one. And friends, if you or someone that you know and love is infected with coronavirus, please know that we are praying for you, for your loved one. We are praying for God's healing power in your life. And we are praying for wisdom for your medical care providers. And friends, God forbid, if you know someone who has already died because of this pandemic, please know that we are praying for you, for your family, and for loved ones, that God's peace that passes all human understanding might surround you and comfort you. And for the rest of you who have not yet been affected by this pandemic, please know that we are praying that God protect you and keep you safe. Friends, we have all had to give up a lot of different things these past 2 weeks. And the fact that we've had to give up so many different things so quickly, I think speaks a truth about our human condition, a truth that we often do not acknowledge, that we are not in control. We like to think that we are in control. We like to think that we can put things on our calendar and plan ahead and set goals, but there are some things you just can't plan for. The coronavirus, much like the attacks on September 11th, 2001, or the Boston Marathon bombing, reveals how much we are at risk and how little we are in control. Now, to be clear, there are some things that you are in control over. You can be in control over whether or not you choose to go to large gatherings. You can choose to wash your hands with soap and water for 20 seconds. You can make sure that there's enough food for you and your family in case there's a shelter-in-place order. If you are at home, you can choose what to watch on Netflix. You can also decide where in your home you're going to spend the most time. I like the way a post on social media put it. I'm trying to figure out where to spend my spring break, my living room or my dining room. And so, friends, there are things that you are in control over, but for the most part, we are very much not in control. And what do you do when you're not in control? What do you do when there's very little you can do to seemingly make a difference? What do you do when you feel like sheep led to the slaughter and the wolves of the world are surrounding you? Friends, I submit to you that when we are not in control, and the truth is that we are never fully in control, we surrender and trust in the one who is in control, the Lord our God, our good shepherd. Friends, I do think that Psalm 23 speaks directly of our situation where we are not in control, but God is in control. But the truth is, I don't think we often read this passage in this way. Many of you grew up with this psalm. You may have even memorized it. And so you have some familiarity with Psalm 23 and some idea about what it means. And I want to be clear that simply because I'm introducing a new way of reading this psalm does not mean that the way that you grew up interpreting it is incorrect. Many people read this psalm at funerals. Reverend Jenny and I have done so on multiple occasions, and that is a good and appropriate thing to do. The psalm reminds us of God's care for us in the hereafter. In the King James Version, we read that God walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. But that comes from the Hebrew phrase psalmavet, which is a compound word from shadow and death, but it could just as easily mean deep darkness. And at the end of the psalm, again in the King James, we read that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But that word forever in English comes from the Hebrew le'orech yamim, which could just as easily mean my whole life long. It literally means for the length of days. So perhaps Psalm 23 could be read about God's care for us in the hereafter, but it could just as easily be about the here and now. And so another common interpretation of Psalm 23 is that it reminds us that God comforts us here and now. And there is indeed a good deal of comforting imagery in this psalm. We read that God is our shepherd who leads us by still waters and takes us to green pastures. We read that God is our host who sets a feast for us and anoints our heads with oil. There is indeed a good deal of comforting imagery in this psalm. So it could be that this psalm is about God's care for us in the hereafter, or it could be about God's comfort for us here and now, but there's another nuance to this psalm. And to help us understand this nuance, let me ask you another question. If you and me are sheep, can we be our own shepherds? And the answer is no. If we are sheep, we cannot be our own shepherds. And if we cannot be our own shepherds, let me ask another question. If we are sheep, are we in control? The answer, friends, is no. We are not in control. The shepherd is in control. In fact, friends, if you read Psalm 23, it becomes clear that God is in control. God is the one doing all of the action in the psalm. God is the one who makes us lie down in green pastures. God leads us beside the still waters. God is even the one who leads us in paths of righteousness. By ourselves, we are stubborn sheep. We may or may not do those things, but God is in control, and so God does what is best for us. In fact, the only time in this entire passage that we do something by ourselves comes in verse number 4, and the result is not good. It is there that we read, "Even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death," or the valley of deepest darkness. But wait a second, how did we end up in this dark valley? Just a second ago, we were walking in paths of righteousness. What happened? Why would God take us into a dark valley? But friends, the truth is that we ended up in the dark valley. God did not bring us there. And it could be that we ended up in this dark valley, perhaps even this dark valley of coronavirus, because of circumstances outside of our control or because of something that someone else did, but God did not cause us to be in this dark valley. Nonetheless, even though we find ourselves in this dark valley not because of God, God can find us in the dark valley. God protects us from the wolves of the world with God's staff and rod, and then God leads us back onto right paths, takes us into a home set for a feast, a place of safety and security. And so, friends, I hope you understand that when we say the Lord is our shepherd, we are not simply saying that God cares for us in the hereafter or that God comforts us here and now. We are saying God is in control. But the truth is, God rarely forces God's self on people. So if you're perfectly happy being in control of your own life, God will let you wander in the wilderness for as long as you want to. But if you recognize that you are not fully in control, what do? You surrender and trust in the one who is in control. And one of the ways we can surrender and trust in God is by saying the words of this psalm as a prayer of surrender and trust. You can say the whole psalm if that feels good and appropriate to you, but you can even just say the first 5 words, "The Lord is my shepherd." There is power in saying just those first 5 words. And so, friends, I invite you now to say those words with me. "The Lord is my shepherd." Friends, I've been offering those words as a prayer of surrender and trust for over 2 decades now. The first time I was exposed to Psalm 23, I was 9 years old, and I had just found out from the doctor that I had a bacterial infection in my body that we could not cure with antibiotics alone. We had to operate. And even though I knew the surgery was necessary, I was terrified out of my mind. I tried to sleep the night before, but I kept on having thoughts pop into my head of all the things that could go wrong. But I'll never forget that my father came into my room, and he sat down on my bed next to me. And I knew he had something serious to share because he was holding in his hand his adult Bible. This was not the kid Bible with all the pictures and the big font. This was the serious adult Bible with none of the pictures and really tiny font. And my father said as he opened up his Bible, "Son, I know you're scared. We don't know what's going to happen with your surgery tomorrow. But I do know this, God will be with you, God will comfort you, and God is in charge." I want to read to you a passage of scripture that speaks about God as our shepherd. I want to read to you Psalm 23. And even though as a 9-year-old I did not fully understand all the words of Psalm 23, I understood this much. My father read those words to me at a time in my life when I was scared out of my mind to let me know that God would comfort me, God would care for me, and God was in charge. And so I surrendered and trusted in God, who brought me through the dark valley of that surgery and back to green pastures of health and wholeness. And friends, inspired by that memory, whenever I find myself lost in the wilderness, I still offer those first 5 words of Psalm 23. When I was evacuating a war zone in Ukraine, I prayed, "The Lord is my shepherd." when I was in the final stage of my ordination process for ministry and I did not know what was going to happen, I prayed, "The Lord is my shepherd." As we find ourselves now in the wilderness of the coronavirus, I pray, "The Lord is my shepherd." Because, friends, we are all in the wilderness right now. This truly is uncharted territory. We do not know what tomorrow will bring, let alone the next day, but we do know this. God is our good shepherd who will lead us through the dark valley, back to green pastures and into a home set for a feast, a place of safety and security. And friends, I want to end today with a post that's been shared across social media. It is a secular post, but I think it speaks volumes to the hope we have as Christians. It was shared with Reverend Jenny and I yesterday by Jared Berman, our chair of deacons, and now I share it with you as a word of hope. It says, "I know this, when this ends, and it will, every game will sell out, every restaurant will have a 2-hour wait, every kid will be glad to be in school, everyone will love their job, the stock market will skyrocket, every other house will get TP'd, and we'll all embrace and shake hands. That's going to be a pretty good day. Hang in there, world." And so, friends, if you believe that this is not yet over, but it will end, if you believe that we might be in the darkness now, but there is a brighter tomorrow, and if you believe that we may not be in charge, but our God is in charge, I invite you to say with me right now the first 5 words of Psalm 23 one more time. "The Lord is my shepherd."